A society is often guided by the decisions of the few. In the case of our Imperium, this has been so since its very birth. Indeed, the notion of the few has been a lateral iteration, the original Imperium, of course, being guided by the word of the One, the Emperor, beloved by all, for within him was vested the power and ego and mind with which to craft the destiny of a species. Brook no argument he would, naught could stand against his vision of humanity. Naturally, this drew opposition, and naturally, such opposition was cast down. Destruction was the response to antagonism. The word of the Emperor was Lex Incarnate. Defiance drew death. This was ever known. None within the burgeoning Imperium of those early days could gainsay such. The vision of the Emperor was as total as it was true, and it was not under any circumstances to be resisted. Alongside the vision came the truth, and said truth was equally irrefutable. Such an inviolate regime required sundry tools to impose this will upon the populations it conquered. Of course, the Emperor of Terra had his Astartes, his auxilia, his navy, but yet subtler tools existed. Tools which were no less devastating, and in their own way, uniquely vicious. Know then, that this is a record of the Imperium's first secret police, the sinister Tallymen stalking the shadows of the Great Crusade. A record of the Order Elucidatum. The Imperial Truth was the name of the Emperor's guiding atheistic ideology. It was the paramount philosophy of his regime, from its birth on Terra during the Unification Wars, through the Great Crusade, to the glory of the growing Imperium, and even unto the fires of the Horus Heresy. It held that, ultimately, the universe was a rational place. There were no such things as gods, demons, or the supernatural. Anything that appeared to be the latter was simply an aspect of the universe science had yet to unlock and explain. Thus, it was no mere assertion that knowledge and learning is the way of things. It was a direct repudiation of the esoteric, the religious, the irrational. Principles beyond the known were not to be wondered at with anything akin to superstition. They were to be researched by those most intelligent and qualified, or to be dismissed as an aspect of reality to be investigated at a later date. Religion could not exist. Faith itself could not exist under the Emperor's truth within his godless realm. In fact, these concepts were to be actively, and if necessary, violently destroyed. The Age of Strife, from whence the Imperium was emerging, had been a period of human history where the ability of the human mind to be cowed by systems of faith was recklessly and greedily exploited. Religions, cults, and sects, beyond counting, had risen and fallen and risen again as the anarchy beset humanity had torn itself to shreds. All of them promised answers, redemption, or simply power, with which to yoke the species to their chains. All who would prostrate themselves before whatever idol placed upon whatever pulpit could access such gifts. Old Night had been the age of the demagogue, of the prophet, so much so that we lost the ability to even record them all. The Imperial Truth was a direct response in many ways to this darkest of chapters in humanity's history. As the growing Imperium spread, the word of unity before it, it did so with the harshest repudiations of what it considered false religions. That is to say, all of them. The lies of the past were to be burnt upon fires taller than the cathedrals they had been raised to venerate. Believers unwilling to renounce their faith, clinging to their ignorance even as the light of the emperor illuminated them, were wont to suffer the same fate. And it is true, the imperial truth broke the shackles of the priests. It sundered the dependence upon churches. It placed the fate of humanity solely in its own hands, or rather, the hands of the emperor. It bound the species to the greatest human endeavor ever conceived. Unity. Not just of Terra, but beyond. The stars themselves, for once the Emperor's unification wars had begun, humanity would surge forth into the galaxy once more, liberating those long-lost colonies from the yoke of not just the Xenos, or the Mutant, but the shackles of faith itself. The foundation of the Imperial Truth was solid beyond doubt, and with it, humanity achieved greatness. It did come at a cost. It is impossible to assess the number of humans who died owing to their devotion or enslavement to a particular religion or belief. Doubtlessly, the number runs into the hundreds of millions, nay, billions. Compliance, the formalized system by which a human world was taken into the imperial fold, stipulated complete adherence to the truth and a total renunciation of faith in all of its forms. Should this be resisted, well, then the skies of that planet were soon filled with the drop pods of the Legionnaires Astartes. Civilizations with direct lineage to old Earth, worlds that had been settled in the first great stellar exodus, those that had previously been humanity's torchbearers to the stars, were put to ash. While, doubtlessly, knowledge, history, and traditions of a myriad were lost in those days, the galaxy was routine in providing reminders of why the imperial truth and its renunciation of religion was not only justified, but perhaps painfully necessary. In the millennia of the Age of Strife, the occult was king, and even amongst ostensibly civilized human societies, there did dwell cankerous beliefs and cults, the adherents to which were often violent, subversive, and uniquely dangerous in their dogmatic hatred of the Emperor's new philosophies. These fanatics were usually dealt with by the Astartes or the Auxilia. Violence begat violence, seemingly without end, but in such a contest, the Imperium was oft emerging the victor. For the rest of the populace, a softer hand would needed to be dealt, and to this end, the Emperor sent to the galaxy his iterators. They were the most visible components of the vast civilian propaganda machine that the Imperium devised. But no simple demagogues were they. Rather, they were a hybrid of educator, philosopher, and rhetorician. Whether mendicant or embedded within the expeditionary fleets of the Great Crusade, iterators were an omnipresent aspect of those centuries, moving amongst populations both newly encountered and long compliant, to strengthen the tenets of the truth and ensure greater cultural alignment with imperial ideals. Recruited from the quick-witted, educated, and most charismatic of imperial citizens, iterators were the first bulwark against regression to the dark past, as well as the likely first point of contact between newly encountered civilization, at least those that did not see an Astartes on their view screens first. While in practice, iterators acting as diplomats did deliver fully compliant worlds into the Imperium through sheer acts of persuasion, there were many other instances where recalcitrant populations were simply at the whim of the tyrant or demagogue that ran their world. These fonts of pointless bombast and meaningless lies. In these cases, the bolters of the Astartes had to be the work of compliance. Such was the dark truth that lurked behind the honeyed words of the iterators. For all the Emperor's beneficence, compliance was not something one could simply opt out of engaging with. Humanity, galaxy-wide, belonged, by a mandate derived seemingly from his decision alone, to the Emperor of Terra. This right, one that in centuries past lesser men would claim was derived from the divine, was best promulgated by the teachings of the famed iterator Kirill Sinderman. We are right. They are wrong. Why? Not because we say so. Because we know so. We will not say, I am right and you are wrong, because we have bested them in combat. We must proclaim it because we know it is the responsible truth. We cannot, should not, will not promulgate that idea of any other reason than we know, without hesitation, without doubt, without prejudice, that it is the truth. And upon that truth we bestow our faith. They are wrong. Their culture was constructed upon lies. We have brought them the keen edge of truth and enlightened them. On that basis, and that basis alone, go from here and iterate our message. Such a philosophy brooks no challenges. It is absolutist to its core. And when presented with such a binary vision of reality, many a regime chose to resist the imperial juggernaut. All were, of course, cast into ruin by the boots of the Astartes. Compliance, again, was wholly mandatory. And this necessitated the removal of cultural practices and traditions that were themselves deemed non-compliant with the secular tenets of the imperial truth. There were, of course, exceptions. Mechanicum of Mars was allowed to retain its inherently religious system of beliefs. Indeed, enshrining, as they did, the Emperor himself as their Omnissiah, a messianic figure of divine revelation. Such a move was one born at the political exigencies of the age. At the time of the union of Terra and Mars, the Emperor lacked the military might with which to conquer Mars, and even if he had, he was unwilling to risk the accumulated knowledge and technology the Mechanicum possessed, a significant amount of which would be imperiled by any ground invasion of the Red Planet. Subsequently, however, there existed no major human polity with the might to actually stand against the Imperium, or negotiate on its own terms. The military machine that was the Great Crusade was simply too powerful. And it expanded its capabilities exponentially, as more and more of the galaxy was brought within its thrall. The old Terran adage held true. Might made the right, that iterator Sinderman so confidently spoke of. The Martian Mechanicum, in partnership with Terra, kept their religiosity, in part due to their political power, and in part due to the decentralized nature of the Martian dogma. While the Imperium crafted in the centuries of the Great Crusade an essentially pyramidal hierarchy with the Emperor at its summit, the Mechanicum was ever a shifting web of feudal tributaries, allowing Forge Worlds to essentially decide their own position on Martian dogma. They were, in short, never a wholly united regime, and while the Mechanicum had its share of demagogues, so too did it have its fair share of dissenters. Relations with the wider Imperium were common, but narrow. For the most part, the twin empires of Terra and Mars kept to themselves in day-to-day matters, mitigating the risk to the Imperial truth as the priesthood of the machine god saw little need in proselytizing their fate to the humanity not beholden to the Red Planet. Many, many other human cultures were, of course, not so fortunate. Countless heritages, traditions, and cultures were simply annihilated from history by the passage of the Great Crusade. Anything deemed remotely in violation of the imperial truth was expunged. Librariums were torched, edifices centuries old were torn down, and whole populations were submitted to intensive re-education at the hands of the iterators and other compliance regime officiants. Often these acts were deliberately public. The temple complex was leveled in a show of imperial dominance, or specific, intractable religious leaders were executed as visibly as possible. As in sundry cases across human history, this did not always work in the manner that the Imperium intended. Cultures, traditions, they are rarely exterminated with such apparent ease. A great many heritages of pre-imperial eras survived, but did so in understandably reduced or underground capacities. It fell to occupation authorities and the Adeptus Arbites to ensure these practices were rooted out and crushed with all possible swiftness. At the very least, they must be neutered to a degree that is reasonable, understanding that the cultural drift and hard work of the iterators would likely affect change within 1 to 3 generations, at a reasonable estimate. Yet, as with all authoritarian regimes, public destruction, surface-level monitoring, and propaganda efforts were only some of the tools at their disposal. And indeed, only some of the tools they would very willingly use. Clandestinely, the Imperium operated a secret police force known as the Order Elucidatum. That we even know of their existence is thanks due to the discovery of a sealed underground archivum dubbed Azure Locus 101 Gamma Delta, breached during the course of the Siege of Terra, and formerly belonging to Malkador the Sigilite, the right hand of the Emperor, who, of course, perished during those final days of the Great Heresy. The Order Elucidatum was created by the Sigilite during the Great Crusade, at a date that remains unclear. It reported directly to him, and thus operated with the authority of the Imperial Household and the Emperor himself. Its members were known officially as Elucidators. Laterally, they earned the nickname Tallymen by those with enough smarts to recognize them for their purpose and their passage across the Imperium. Their public cover stories were they were bureaucrats, members of the Adeptus Terra, or the Adeptus Administratum, essaying and assessing the growing realms of the Emperor from within the burgeoning imperial bureaucratic infrastructure, albeit with clearance that went far beyond any of their fellows. In secret, of course, they were an internal security division that operated as secret police, censors, iconoclasts, and murderers. In their public role, the Elucidators were able to collect data in staggeringly vast quantities from newly compliant worlds. They were able to parse recovered works of a newly conquered culture, assess population demographics, overview iterator conversion efforts, and take any action they deemed necessary to ensure that the imperial truth was upheld, and that anything remotely challenging to its promulgation was identified and dealt with. It is understandably difficult to chart the progress and course of a secret organization, especially one that was never openly acknowledged during the years it was operational. For all their clandestine nature, we know far more of the inner workings of the Clades Assassinorum during the Great Crusade and Horus Heresy than we likely ever will of the Order Elucidatum. What is clear, however, is that the reach of the Tallymen was profound, and seemingly total, save for, presumably, when it clashed with the authority of other organizations under the umbrella of the Imperial Household, such as the aforementioned Assassinorum and the Auric Champions of the Legio Custodes. The Elucidators were permitted a level of informational access that superseded almost every authority within the Imperium. How and where they chose to use this power remains a topic of debate among scholars privy to such knowledges. A humble scribe demanding access to magenta-level intelligence briefings, metaphorically bludgeoning their way past Lord Commanders and Astartes Praetors, would surely raise eyebrows. It is likely that the Tallymen favored subtler approaches, given the inherent secrecies of their role, but from the Archivum data recovered, the ability to inveigle their way into sensitive and vital positions within the Great Crusade was seemingly a condition of their employment and a facet of the Sigillite's own prodigious influence. Malkador was seemingly apt at placing his elucidators where and whenever he decided. That an undercover elucidator, posing as a scribe or officiant, had some ulterior purpose was no doubt often obvious. The Imperial higher echelons were not staffed with moronics, after all, but full of people who were fully aware of the totality of regime they were serving. In public, elucidators would present guidance to the Crusade fleets or compliance administrators they were attached to. Accrued census data would allow the targeting of populations in need of rehabilitation, for example. It could also access specific cultural tenets to better inform an iterator's appeal to the minds of the masses, invoking a popular legend, for example, and tying that to the assumption of imperial control. This even went as far as the assessment of overall cultural shock event risks. The potential for post-compliance recidivism based on data models crunched from tens of thousands of newly compliant worlds. In short, elucidators affected a pretense of speeding along the transition from old institutions into the open but iron hands of imperial authority. Of course, this beneficent purpose concealed yet darker ones. While all of the previously discussed roles could be considered standard day-to-day operations, acting as they did as a sort of diffused macro-scale imperial intelligence and social stability agency, the underlying purpose of the elucidators was the suppression, by means of extreme prejudice, of all faith and face-based social expressions. The Tallymen operated under no formal jurisdiction. They were sanctioned to enact whatever means they saw fit by the Sigillite's office itself. They had carte blanche to use their best judgment to rectify situations they felt were out of alignment with imperial secularity, or a direct threat to it. Their clandestine history is one of blood, murder, and genocide, extreme acts taken under the highest of secrecies in order to eliminate occult sects, secret societies, and fanatical malefactors, or those their data modeling predicted would assume such roles in societies that began to deviate from the imperial truth. Effectively, predictive crime algorithmica were applied to populations across the Imperium that this elucidator or that deemed at risk. This extended to individuals in whom such societies vested quasi-spiritual roles. Shamans, witch doctors, healers, wise women, petty spiritualists. None were below the scrutiny of the elucidators, and given the span of their careers and the levels of intelligence modeling they undertook, they no doubt considered any judgments they made to be supremely well-informed, based, of course, on the most solid of statistical projections. The existence of the Tallymen was not widely known, and certainly was actively discredited by their Iterator counterparts. The need for them flew in the face of all Imperial propaganda's key messaging. To the common man, they did not exist. They could not exist. This was the Imperium. But they did exist. And their terrible actions were not only entirely state-sanctioned, but deemed necessary. The cost of the Imperial Truth's ascendancy, by the word of the Emperor himself. Though, as mentioned, their existence was never acknowledged, the hand of the Tallymen was felt across the Imperium throughout those years of crusade. They were superlatively skilled. The Sigillite had recruited them from the finest military organizations the Imperium had created. All were fully capable of not just calculated planning and strategizing, but also explosive and vicious violence. Elucidators were all highly trained warriors, and equipped with weaponry and technology likely reaching the sophistication and lethality of the assassin clades. They torched churches, often with the huddled, desperate petitioners cowering within. They assassinated religious and cultural figures of importance with utter impunity, often quite publicly, desiring such deaths, such messy deaths, to be a statement of purpose. They led and instigated pogroms, directing ardent Imperial converts to purge and murder ethnic, religious, and social minorities within societies the elucidators had deemed suspect, again, likely entirely based on predictive data modeling. They were utterly ruthless and entirely without mercy, believing ardently in the necessity of their mission and the inviolability of their galaxy-spanning intelligence framework. They were deeply learned in the secrets of sociology, anthropology, and theology, and implied it with an impunity born of bias confirmation. Such acts did not go unnoticed. Such acts could not go unnoticed. And they cannot help but be affixed to figures for whom no actual explanation can be given. The Tallymen became a sinister Chaudhikar figure, especially as the Great Crusade expanded further from the Galactic Core and the first cults of emperor worship emerged. To the huddled sermons held within the vast bellies of Imperial warships, the Tallyman was a figure of total terror, an infiltrator who would not hesitate to expunge a cult of the Lactitio Divinitatis with all possible haste and even greater malice. Elucidators were also sanctioned in the use of serotoxin, a nerve agent that could be dispersed among a population to purge the memories and recollections of, for example, immaterial incursion events, but could also be used to purge any form of mimetic tradition, or anything the elucidator dubbed a potential cognitohazard. This nerve agent, dubbed the Brain Destroyer by those aware of its existence, had the side effect of leaving the victims as barely more capable than servitors, able only to respond to basic autonomic instincts and the simplest of visual cues. With their actions, elucidators became synonymous with genocide and ethnic cleansing. Atrocities committed in the name of the Emperor, lest his Imperium be threatened from within its own borders. The fundamental tenets underpinning the actions of the Order Elucidatum were derived from the Imperial Truth's core conceit. Humanity could never be trusted in any capacity with knowledge of the warp and the entities that dwelled within it. The Order upheld the Imperial Truth's core purpose, to starve the greater intelligences of the Immaterium, that so-called dark pantheon of chaos, from worship, and thus the immaterial energy they so craved. The Chaos Gods have always been maliciously cunning in their ability to usurp the worship of humanity for their own purposes, drawing power from uncountable belief systems galaxy-wide across the entire span of human history. The Emperor, loved by all, sought to starve them of power by imposing an atheistic regime. Humanity, believing in a rational universe, would no longer inadvertently feed monstrous eldritch intelligences lurking beyond the skine of our brittle, terraqueous reality. Just as the imperial truth is emblematic of the Emperor's often blunt rationales, so too is the work of the Elucidators. The truth, as with compliance, was a binary state. There was either total obeisance or deviation, worthy of annihilation. Their clinical application of genocidal violence was the cost of the Emperor's great plan. Naturally, it has been speculated by scholars past, and often prematurely dead, that had humanity been trusted with the knowledge of the universe's hidden mysteries, that the deaths of millions of innocent human civilians could have been avoided. Others argue that to spread such knowledge would cause even worse calamities, as they take a dim view of our species' ability to be trusted with such mysteries, least of all of entities that actively promise individuals power in exchange for devotion. Should the activities and purpose of the Order Elucidatum strike one's acolytes as similar to another august body within our Imperium, then rest assured you are not alone. There are several treatises that attempt to establish a link between the Order and the modern Inquisition, formed as the latter was in the new Imperial Age that followed the Siege of Terra. The Elucidators can be seen as one of several of the Sigillites' early attempts at gathering individuals of an inquisitive mindset. They, after all, served alongside other irregular clandestine organizations at the direct behest of Malkador, namely the Chosen and the Knights Errant, the former humans selected for specialized knowledge and skills, the latter formed of legionless Astartes. There is, however, no formal proto-Inquisition. All of the Sigillites' secret forces exhibit some aspects of the organization that would become the Holy Ordos, but none directly transformed into the Inquisition we know today. For example, though they were not directly involved in the very Inquisition-like activities of the Elucidators, it is widely believed that several high-ranking members of the Chosen, such as Zarenchek Xanthus and Moriana Mohausen, were among the founding members of the Inquisition, perhaps also alongside prominent iterator Kirill Sindriman, who would later assume the name Lastan Veritas. Indeed, the fate of individual elucidators is wholly unknown. As knowledge of their activities was utterly suppressed, it appears that not a single name of any individual tallyman survived the fires of Horus Lupercal's devastations. Either the catastrophes of the heresy claimed them one by one, or their fates became intertwined with events far outside their remit. Regardless, the Order forms a curious and dark chapter in the history of the pre-heresy Imperium. To call it a stain would be pointless. The Imperium has, since its gestation, been a regime built upon death and total control. And indeed, since the heresy, atrocities are commonplace. It is easier, of course, for a regime to hide behind a million atrocities than simply one. That the Order Elucidatum were kept so secret heaps yet more scorn upon the grand lie that was the Imperial truth. For a regime so claiming to be heralds of progress and change, it was certainly willing to use some very old and very vicious ideas. Ave Imperator. Gloria in excelsis terra. This video and this channel were made possible thanks to the very kind donations and support from my Patreon subscribers. If you'd like to help support the channel, head on over to patreon.com/oculusimperia.
If you'd like to receive more updates about the channel and any future videos, you can contact me or follow me on Twitter at Oculus Imperia. Otherwise, please like, subscribe, comment, let me know your feedback, and as ever, thank you very much for watching.